Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Hey there, and welcome back to Now We Consume. I'm your host, Gibbs, and along with me is my co-host.
I'm Pip.
And today we have a very interesting topic to discuss with y'all. But first, we want to discuss last week's podcast. I want to say thank you, everyone, for reaching out. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We got a lot of great suggestions, a lot of really great feedback, and we are really looking forward to implementing those in the coming episodes. And also, thank you for the suggestions for the different episodes we're going to do. We got quite a few of them, and we're definitely throwing them in the rotation, and we will be getting to those. That being said, shall we start off with today?
Yeah, so this is one that we've kind of gone back and forth on a little bit. It's something that if everything goes the way that it's going to go, it's going to affect the lives of everybody on Earth. Elon Musk, otherwise known as Daddy Musk, is trying to put people on Mars. Whether or not that's going to happen, we don't know. But it's something that he's shooting for, and if nothing, we know the man's persistent and is able to achieve goals in a timetable that honestly is kind of mind-numbing.
It's going to be very interesting to see if this is going to actually ever happen. I think you're more optimistic on the subject, whereas I'm a little bit more pessimistic on the subject. But
right, because you've seen it too. He said he was going to do the rockets in, 5-10 years. Would he do it in like 12?
Yeah, which is so crazy.
Yeah, and look how reliable they are.
Somehow he has done it. But I think that there's so many factors involved with humanity moving a primary residence to another planet that I don't know. It's such a big undertaking. There's so many technical and economic challenges and even political challenges and everything else involved with it that we have a lot to discuss.
100%. Yes.
So I guess the thing is, you would know a little bit more than I would about this one, but what is his like actual vision here? What is he looking to do? Like, what's the objective? What's the goal?
Yeah. Okay. So his plan is to put 1 million people on Mars over the course of 20 years.
No freaking way.
I think he's got his ship set up to take 100 people at a time. Now, that's on me. I didn't do the math prior to this. But that's like 50 bajillion rocket launches or something. I don't know. Something like that.
That's a lot of time just traveling back and forth, let alone that's... The bigger project is going to be almost getting people there, let alone getting them set up and survive. Like, 1 million people? You said, 20 years?
Yeah, over the course of
Is that according to him? Is that according to Tesla or according to like a news site or something? Or
yeah, no, that's him. That is his goal.
Jesus, I figured 10,000 people in 40 years, 1 million.
Yeah,
good God, how?
But now, Jesus, I think that's also him taking into account once people are there and established, just reproduction and natural processes as well.
Okay, so to support 1 million people,
yeah,
might be the better. Okay. But even so, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, we'd be lucky to get 1,000 people there, I think.
You think it's only going to be 1,000?
Well, in 20 years?
Well, given that the Starship can take 100 people, and I don't know how many Starships
is he going to build?
Hundreds.
Well, how big are... Well, they hold 100 people. I mean, basically, I guess it's a... The bus of our solar system, I guess. Uh-huh. It's not going to have to be. I'm assuming they're not like super expensive or anything.
No, but they're not bad.
God, that's such. I don't know. Maybe it's because of how unforgiving space is, and
right.
God forbid if you get any one little thing wrong, it's not like we have a flat tire. It's everything's great, then we're dead. Like, there is no in between. No. Space doesn't say, hold on, I'll kill you in a half hour. No, you just die. So
yeah, no. What's the quote? In space, no one can hear you scream?
Yeah, exactly. And I hate to be that person, but I know with Tesla's quality control lately, I'm very concerned about...
Well, yeah, because the Cybertrucks were dying in the cold of Canada. Let alone the cold of space.
Well, that's...
Sorry, guys, the Starship won't start because it's too cold!
I guess that's my... Like, don't get me wrong, I love the fact that he's doing it. But yeah. Holy crap, are you going to have to sign some legal waivers and paperwork... Be able to take a trip to Mars.
Right.
Because you know what? This is another question. I know that's not as interesting to people, but I just want to know the legality of what's going to happen when laws are put in place about space travel, even just leaving Earth, being like, you have to guarantee this or guarantee that, or do you not? Or do you sign waivers? Can you sue? Can you not? That's gonna be
right. Well, like, did you ever watch The Martian?
Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely. So they actually brought up the point that it's all kind of like international waters. There really aren't any laws that govern, you know, a lot of those places and spots and situations. So it's the Wild West of the Wild West.
So I guess the question is, with space travel, if you're not using something that's owned by a government agency or any sort of government, it's really just international water rules, basically.
More or less. That's the way that I understand everything as I've read it.
So as I remember from The Martian, drinking and flying is legal. So you can get wasted in space on your way to Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's honestly, all the alcoholics are just going to be signing the hell up. Be like, what, you mean I could take... Actually, how long would the trip be from... Earth to Mars. I know it depends on where they are in the orbit.
Yeah, it depends on the orbit, but the best case scenario is a 6-month trip.
So all I'm hearing, all the alcoholics are hearing, so wait a minute, I could take a 6-month cruise and I could be drunk the entire friggin' time. Like I bet you that's what I'm hearing.
A 6-month bender? Good God.
Arrive on Mars. I don't know where we're going, but it's sure red. I like you.
Yeah, so you've got a long trip to Mars. Yeah. You turn around, and the other alternative is the moon. It's a 3-day trip to the moon by normal, conventional means. That may be more attainable. It's definitely going to be a lot easier to make that happen. And also, if we build up the moon first, we can make that a much cheaper alternative to launch from to Mars and anywhere else in the solar system. So the question becomes... Do we focus solely on Mars, or do we focus on the moon first, build that up, and then work on Mars?
See, moon first makes way more sense, because if there is a problem, we can at least get there. Whereas...
Right. Logically speaking, that makes way more sense.
Because we've both seen The Martian, so we know, granted, it is a movie, but it is pretty realistic in terms of some of the issues. And I could not imagine people moving to another planet... having to basically plant their waste matter to grow potatoes, being very fun.
Oh, the infamous poo potatoes. Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, but no. It seems like to me we have to do something with the moon anyway. Because number one, it's already there. It's already so close. It's already a stable platform for us to build on. The problem is it doesn't really have any natural resource or anything. It's just literally a thing that doesn't have much to give us. As far as I'm aware.
It's got lots of metals and stuff to give us. It's got helium-3 to give us.
Okay. So then, because that's something I actually don't know about. Is it like profitable to mine and or do anything on the moon? Because we would have to build a lot of infrastructure, but it would be smarter, I think, to develop the same thing for there. Granted, I know atmosphere is very different on Mars compared to the moon, because the moon really doesn't have that much of an atmosphere, if not at all. But with it would be a way of testing your production, your construction, you know, how things are actually developed and put together. It'd be a far better plan, I agree with you, to do that first before moving to Mars.
Yeah, because like on the moon, you have lots of silicon, lots of titanium, lots of other metals. Oh, yeah. Titanium is very common on the moon.
Oh, and that is a required resource if we're going to be doing space travel. Because you can't use aluminum. Like, well, I guess you can, but like you probably shouldn't.
You can, but not, no.
Not recommended, put it that way.
No. You can actually get oxygen out of the lunar soil. There's iron, there's calcium, magnesium, lots of other elements.
So it could be used as a good staging platform, or even possibly, you know, construction materials, things like that. So definitely, why wouldn't they go moon first?
Right.
You know, that seems like the obvious choice.
And not to mention that there's ice all over the moon. Ice we can turn into rocket fuel, oxygen, drinking water. I mean, I'm just saying, it seems like the logical step.
But then there's always the I guess the money cost with that. Like I would not even be able to give you any sort of figure. But good God, is that going to be expensive?
$100 billion.
Honestly, I feel like that would be too cheap. It's going to be tens of trillions to really get anything going.
Probably trillions. Get anything going.
But I guess the question becomes now that Elon Musk has proved that a lot of this is possible, that's going to be the next big race we have. It's going to be the next big gold rush is going to be
pretty getting much to because
the moon, there's no rules about how you have to do it. So if you're the first one there,
he's writing the rule book as he goes.
Yeah.
And the more he proves his technology works, the more he's just kind of pushing himself to go further. So NASA is trying to go to the moon. He's going to get there first.
What do you mean NASA's trying? They've already been there.
Well, yes, but they're trying to go there again because somehow they lost the technology to go there.
It's because of money.
I know.
That's all it is. NASA got like a lot, so much.
That's
money
why the lunar flights were canceled.
Yeah. Well, they just got so much funding taken away from them, which is sad, really. It's a shame that a multi-billionaire has to take his own private money and be like, I will be NASA. That's kind of sad. But
yeah, it is.
But he's actually doing a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
So
now, to be fair, there's a lot of things that he will need NASA's help on.
Oh, yeah.
He cannot get nuclear material if he wants to experiment with non-like green-type energy-based power generation.
I couldn't imagine the challenges of doing nuclear power out in space on the moon. Hold on, so the moon has has some sort of atmosphere, right?
It has a very, very, very small amount of atmosphere, and it's typically low to the ground, we'll say.
So would you be able to radiate heat or not really? Would you be able to do heat dissipation?
You can use metal radiators to get rid of heat. You just keep them in shade.
Because that would be the thing. If he needs nuclear material to build a reactor, because you're going to need a lot of power on the moon, you could, I guess, technically go solar for that?
You can on the moon, yes.
That's something you can do, but...
Yeah, but the issue becomes you get 2 weeks of solar, and then you get 2 weeks of night. So if you go solar on the moon, it basically has to be in orbit, not like around the belt of the moon, but around the halo crown of the moon going north to south.
Oh, that's a pain in the butt. So in order to be able to use any sort of solar power, like we're going to need batteries and stuff like that, you would need like an alkaline metal on the moon. So do they have alkaline metals and things like that on the moon?
Oh, yeah. Sodium, potassium, those are alkaline metals. Other stuff that comes via meteorite impact. And that kind of takes us into another portion of the discussion is, what about asteroid mining?
I don't even know if we have the tech. Like, would we be able to keep up? Like, that's my wonder. So would we be able to make a ship that can keep up with an asteroid? Do we even have that kind of technology? So,
I don't know that we have the technology now to do it, but once we're starting to branch out, I think it's something that's going to have to be made. Necessity is the mother of all invention. That's probably going to be something that's necessitated once we're starting to branch out and become a multi-planetary, multi-spatial body civilization.
Yeah, but you're talking pretty far in the future. I mean, that's long past we get the moon colonized by Mars. Because it's one thing to do like rocket science and figure it out, but it's a whole other thing to be able to get a vehicle that can catch up to an asteroid, land without the debris hitting it or anything else hitting it, land to be able to mine and extract materials in an efficient manner, and to be able to safely leave with the materials and also have it all of that be profitable. That's the underlying.
Right. Well, I think you're talking about like huge asteroids. Think about the small ones, the ones that are the size of a car, a bus, a small house. We could capture those themselves. It doesn't take a whole lot.
I never thought
lot.
About this. Are there a lot of those, like, just in the solar system?
Oh, yeah. Tens of thousands.
It actually literally never occurred to me because we always think of, like, larger objects. Yeah.
The big ones, right. But not only that, we have large interplanetary bodies like the dwarf planet Ceres. You know,
how big is it?
It's bigger than the moon.
Oh, okay. So it's like in between.
Uh-huh. Okay. The asteroid, was it 42 Psyche?
Oh, yeah.
It's worth, what, $14 quadrillion dollars? Just worth of, like, iron and nickel from initial scans?
Good God. Okay.
Yeah. It's got enough metal to literally crash the economy of the planet.
Catches one asteroid, dooms economy. And that's, oh my God. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so there is money out there that we can get. It's just a matter of getting it, not necessarily the money, it's the resources that we need to capture. Get them to where we need them, the moon, Mars, orbital platforms, whatever, and use them there. Because if we're going to live on the moon, if we're going to live on Mars, if we're going to live anywhere in space, we have to build infrastructure to make the things that we need. We can take the bare minimum. As much as I hate to reference this, you think about any kind of survival type video game, like any of like the high engineering level games, you're given a basic amount of resources that you can take with you. Everything else you have to do when you're there. It's the exact same premise. We get to the moon, we can take some basic machinery and equipment with us. After that, we have to use the resources there to make the rest. 3D printing is going to be a huge thing on both the moon and Mars. Lunar regolith, we mix it with a little bit of the water that we get from the ice that's on the moon. We can 3D print structures to live in. Shield us from solar radiation, shield us from solar or cosmic radiation. That way we don't have to just live underground. We're using the resources that are already there. Same thing on Mars. We can print our way out of a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah. And the good thing, at least with the moon, is if you need anything,
it's
only a
Earth.
Few days away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ship from Mars to Earth is going to take a lot more time. Now, to be fair, we can start shipping stuff ahead of time in cargo rockets, and it's easier to do that than it is to ship a human rocket. You don't have to provide an atmosphere. You don't have to provide food and water.
Yep.
You can just ship that thing, stuff to the brim, get it going, and set it down or leave it in orbit. That's much easier to do. And you can send those out as needed. Humans, unfortunately, we take food, water, sleep, you know, we need exercise. Those are harder to move.
There's going to be a whole industry around just human interstellar travel and interplanetary travel.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's going to be something that's not only just incredibly expensive, but I guess from my perspective, I wonder the intersection of where politics is going to get involved with it, where regulation is going to get involved in it. I wonder how much that's going to slow down this entire process. Or is Elon Musk going to say, you have no jurisdiction, you know, yeah, I can do what I want kind of thing. I'm very curious what's going to happen in that direction.
Right. So years ago, a lot of the countries that felt they could get to the moon signed a treaty saying that nobody could own the moon. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to play into it. Now, those were countries. No one thought about private companies. And essentially, I think this is just me talking. I think what it's going to come down to is whoever gets to the moon, sets up a perimeter of what they think they can control on the moon and protect, is going to be theirs. So we may have lunar warfare, corporate warfare, literally with advanced weaponry defending their corporate resources. I don't know. It sounds kind of far-fetched and it sounds out there, but is it really?
It'll be more economic warfare than corporate warfare. It'll be the case.
We hope. But
oh yeah,
people will kill people on Earth for resources and whatnot. Who's to say they won't do it on the moon? And it's easier up there because all you got to do is puncture their spacesuit and they're done.
Yeah, so a madman with a nail gun and suddenly they own the moon.
Like basically, yeah.
No, people on Earth kill each other because they look at each other the wrong way. So I mean, especially, I guess the psychological element of imagine you're on the moon. You can see Earth. You've been there for 35 or 40 days. You really don't get to do anything you want to do. You're busy working. You're sitting there holding a nail gun going, man, I could make so much money if I just offed this one guy. Like, oh my God. It's going to get wild. Like,
just one little crack in his helmet. Yeah. One little nick in his suit. And Jimmy doesn't go home.
Exactly. It's... I guess it's going to be the first time for humans in the last, 100, 150 years, for most humans anywhere, where you are going to truly be alone with the people around you. There is no one you can call. Granted, 3 days away, people used to be months away when you're talking about like the span of the Americas back in like the 17th, 18th century. Yeah. So, yes, I know it's weirdly enough, they're closer on the moon than they were in the 1820s and 30s being across the country. I'm aware of that. But at the same point, you still feel so removed from the consequences. You're that far away from everything. What I'm curious about is I don't know how many humans. I think it's going to take special people to be able to handle the psychological level and load that's going to take to be able to be out there and deal with the fact that you must exercise to maintain your body. You must eat a certain way. You have to wear certain clothing. You have to live a certain lifestyle, and you have to live it. You're not just there for a little bit. Like, I would assume if you're there building a space station, you're going to be there a while. This is
most likely,
This isn't like the International Space Station where someone go up for a certain amount of time. Granted, doesn't always go as expected. Sometimes you stay up there like for a little longer.
The 10-day trip that turned into the 2-month trip?
Oh, my God.
Boeing.
I'd be the angriest man orbiting the Earth. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I to be fair, I have a fear of heights, so let me tell you, the International Space Station, I'd be losing my mind. Absolutely not.
You'd shit yourself every day you looked at that cupola.
I will be real. I think I'd lock myself in the bathroom and just be like, I'll wait. It's fine. They have the strap. I can strap myself down to the chair. I feel like I have gravity. That's it. We're good. No, I'm not doing it. No, you can't make me. Absolutely not. Nope. Uh-uh.
It'd be like that scene from Bird Box. Look!
No, absolutely not.
But no, to kind of segue back into what you were saying about like government involvement and everything, I think once the governments and the corporations that are funding them start to see the benefits of the resources that the moon and Mars can provide, especially things like helium-3, some of the other materials that come out of there from the moon. Mm-hmm. Helium-3, if you don't know, can be used in a type of nuclear fusion.
This I know nothing about.
So once... Yeah, we don't have a lot of helium-3 on Earth. It does not occur naturally on Earth because... I'm not going to go into the scientifics on that. We're kind of getting low on time. So helium-3 is a very interesting topic. Look it up if you want to dive into it. But on the moon, it's literally just kind of sitting there. We can hoover that up, use it for nuclear fusion. We have to finish the technology because, again, it's only theoretical on Earth. So we have to get the technology made. But in theory, it's much easier to achieve nuclear fusion with helium-3 than it is with some of the other ways they're going about it. So easy nuclear fusion makes people's pants tight and they chase after it.
Not the phrase I was expecting.
Yeah, you know. So outside of that, go ahead.
That could be the pit stop
yeah.
of the solar system. Like, you go there, you refuel your ship, you get any repairs done, either you buy your ship, you have them being made, whatever, because we have mm-hmm. all the resources there. That could be our hub for, you know, centuries.
Yeah, it's the gas station, the 7-Eleven of the solar system.
Oh, my God.
I won't go do what I was going to do. But you've also got research potentials as well as tourism. Who wouldn't want to go and hang out in space, in orbit? I mean, I know you don't like heights. I get that. So we'll put a bag over your head, take you to the moon.
I'm and that then ugly? You can... Let's see how it is.
We'll just give you the aisle seat. How about that?
Okay.
A vacation to the moon, you know, 3-day trip there, 4 or 5 days on the moon, 3-day trip back. A 10-day vacation package. Yeah, I think a lot of people would do that if it was affordable enough.
In this economy? No, I'm kidding.
If it was affordable enough and yeah. it was proven to be safe enough and the facilities were built up to accommodate it, yeah, I think a lot of people would do that.
Well, especially depending on the economic incentives, I feel like there's going to be a big push for people eventually once the moon and or eventually Mars is colonized to where you have all the basics that you need, but they just need people.
Uh-huh.
I wonder, this was just my case, I wonder what the economic incentives are going to be people to move there. Are they going to say, like, hey, move your primary residency to Mars and we'll give you this, and a house to live or something like this. That'll be your property. That would be right. your place as long as you work for this company. And I wonder if it's going to bring back, just like how we had in the 15th through like 17th century, even 18th century, where a lot of people, like, they lived at the mines and they worked on the mines and they had like the mine kind of like shop that you would buy food from, and the mine mm-hmm. Owned your barracks or where you lived. I guess I worry, but also I wonder if it's going to be something like that where they say, hey, you know, Elon Musk is going to provide all the food for you and they're going to give mm-hmm. you a place to live and they're going to do all this. But once you get there, you're going to be stuck. That's yeah. what I wonder. But invert that. I wonder how many people are going to say, wow, I can get a new start there. How many people yeah. on Earth that have, you know, maybe they have drug records or something like that, or criminal records. They have nowhere else to go. And Elon Musk is saying, hey, I can give you, you know, a 1,200 square foot house with some land, you know, and a job. You just have to show up.
Yeah.
So for some people, it could be a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So like the company town mentality, it was yes. popular back in the day. You know, you leave Earth and you end up in Muskopolis and all of a sudden you have a brand new start. You have a free house. Well, you're an indentured servant at that point, but you have a house. You get your food right down the street and you just work off your debt. Like, you know, it never goes away.
I thought
we did away with indentured servitude, but maybe I'm wrong.
nowadays you never really know, but I don't think you would really go that route. Obviously I'm just being a little hyperbolic, but it is something that I wonder how many people will move there for the fresh start and how humanity yeah. will change, where now you have families growing up on Mars, mm-hmm. you know, people conceiving children, things like that. We're going to start seeing the first part of, I guess, human evolution outside of Earth and how that's going to change.
Right. Basically Gen 2 of humanity.
You could go with that, you know.
Because we'll be essentially the evolved species, more or less, at that point.
I
say that only in the term of we are no longer confined to Earth.
Yeah, evolved for that environment, for Mars.
Yeah.
So that's, if for anybody that's watched The Expanse, by the way, highly recommend watching that.
I was going to bring that up.
Okay, yep.
Yes. The Expanse is awesome. It's up there with The Martian.
And it covers some things that we're discussing here, obviously in their own take, but highly.
It's available on Amazon Prime.
Yes, highly recommended. By the way, great show. So I guess I know there's something else we were discussing about currency and trade with Earth, things like how the stock market work, how would investments work, how would communication work? Because one of the problems we have is everything on Earth, at least, happens here. So our communication, especially with the invention of the internet and our satellite system, communication is relatively instant. Relatively at, mm-hmm. on access, on tap at all times. Investments can happen as soon as you want. Communication can happen. Money can be transferred. if there is a separate Mars or even the moon, I guess we can get away with things being pretty instant relatively now. But
the moon's about a 2 second delay.
Yeah, that's nothing.
To the moon. I think it's like 1.8 light seconds to get there and then back. So a roughly 3 to 3.5 second delay.
Yeah. So gaming would be difficult, but you could have a phone call. You could do stuff on the internet. It's not that big of a deal. But then the problem becomes Mars.
Mars. Yep.
So
it's a 20 minute delay.
Yeah.
Just to send the message.
So this, what we're doing right now with like a podcast over the internet, it no happening.
Not
phone call. You got to be a very patient person.
Correct.
So I guess the question becomes, with economics, with the economy the way it is, because everything is designed to happen relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
How would that change? Would Mars become a separate, entirely separate economy, or maybe loosely using our economic system? How much of it would really become so, I guess you'd say, independent from Earth?
Intertwined, yeah. Right. So I feel like it would be its own separate market. Similar to how we have the American market and the Asian market and the European market. Mm-hmm. Those all operate independently, yet intertwined with a little bit. It would have its own ups and downs and reverberations. But I think the tie-in is probably going to be, since it's Daddy Musk, look at Dogecoin, some kind of cryptocurrency. It may not necessarily be Dogecoin, but I think a crypto or a kind of digital currency that you don't have to worry about having on hand on the moon or Mars necessarily is going to be the tie-in, because it's something we already use here. It's something that has an established value that can be related to right away, instantaneously, and the transactions can be handled.
I am going to be pissed if the reason we go to Mars is because of a meme coin called Dogecoin. Not because of NASA, not because of any of our governments trying to do anything, because of a goddamn meme coin. Does that not sum up the
humanity, I guess,
ridiculousness? Yeah, the ridiculousness of humanity.
Uh-huh.
Being like, so imagine if an alien like interviews a human another 50 years from now. They're like, so how'd you guys discover interplanetary travel? And they have to start the conversation with,
Dog money.
A billionaire as a joke made up a meme coin. They're like, what's a meme coin? Oh, that's going to be a 30-minute conversation.
Oh, yeah.
That's, oh my God. We are a weird species.
Yes, we are.
We are weird.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't think about, with Elon Musk running, like pushing for that,
mm-hmm.
that would be fine. They have to trade in Doge. It might not be the U.S. dollar. It might not be any dollar. It might not be ruble or anything. It would be literally in Dogecoin.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious yet terrifying.
I mean, he's the one that's trying to set this all up. That's kind of his back pocket coin. For all we know, it could be his prison wallet coin. I don't know.
I cannot wait one day. Now, granted, I'm not going to be on this flight. But one day, someone going to Mars and saying, all I see is one of the banners going by, sponsored by Dogecoin. Like, I don't know. I just, in collaboration with Tesla, man.
Oh, God. Think about the corporate advertising logos that are going to be on that rocket.
Not only that, but so I know that, like, because of the way Earth's, like, Mars is moving, there's not ever going to be, like, one established route. It's always going to be, like, somewhat changing because of the orbits and everything.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, leaving the Earth, they're going to have the same trajectory almost every time, because they're going to have the same spots where they're leaving from. Are they going to be putting billboards out in space for this stuff?
Probably.
Are they be advertising the whole way over?
Probably. Oh, I hope God. So.
Jesus.
I want to see a McDonald's billboard out in space. Hey, maybe they'll have space drive-thrus. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, until all the air leaves. The
hey, can we stop by this space McDonald's and eat space chicken nuggets?
And if there's always going to be those, like those religious space billboards. Jesus is watching.
Hell is real. Anybody in Ohio knows the hell is real billboard. Oh,
but,
yes.
But that's,
I need just, to see this.
For anybody that's seen the movie Idiocracy, where the guy says, you know, everything's yes. sponsored by Carl's Jr. or something like that. I don't know.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Exactly. I just imagine where if this is done by Elon, I know he has the money, but it's not going to be him that I'm worried about as much as more as the other companies that are going to come along, where you're literally going to have, this ride is sponsored by Carl's Jr. and Costco. We love you. Like, it's going to be just such a weird thing.
Oh, God. As you're boarding the ship to take off. Welcome to Tesla. I love you.
that would freak me out, though.
Right?
Oh, my God. So I...
And, you know, that kind of segues into one of the last big issues that we can talk about here. The long-term mental and psychological challenges of leaving your planet, leaving your home, being cooped up in a ship. Forget going to the moon. That's a 3-day trip. That's not that bad. We can do that. Mm-hmm. 6 months in a vehicle that's not a whole lot bigger than a bus. That's about the amount of space you'd have.
It's going to have to be bigger than a bus, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's roughly how much space the people will have, like, to themselves.
Because, I mean, obviously there's some dimensions we have to look at, like, to really figure out what, like, the individual person, but, like, what their individual space would be. But that being said, that's going to be a lot of people realizing that. Like, I know this is a meme, but there is no grass for you to touch. There is no, like, like going out and getting some natural sunlight or anything like that. Like, sure, there's going to be some sunlight, but also it's going to be protected from radiation and other harmful things. So I don't even know I can't even guarantee they would be able to see, like, sunlight or other certain things. Like, you're stuck in that metal tube with everybody.
Right.
It's going to be your, like, least favorite airplane ride.
Yeah. As of right now, the only dimensions that I can pull up on Starship, it's 30 feet wide.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
165 feet long.
God, so they better hope nobody ate chili the night before, or else you're going to have the worst 6-month ride, because that smell's just going to linger. Oh, man.
Or some dumb bastard goes to Taco Bell the night before.
Hey, guys, I got takeout with me. God damn it, Ron!
No!
There is no air filtration system that's going to take out Taco Bell from that air, let me tell you.
There's nothing strong enough.
I'm just going to hear, why is it spicy? Just I don't know.
Why is it spicy? Why does the air hurt my face?
The air burns. I could not imagine how that would go.
Poorly. That's how it would go.
Unless you're, like, well-adjusted. Unless you're somebody... I would assume they'd be highly selective when they first do the program.
Yeah, so I think, like, the first handfuls of people are going to be probably current and or former military. More specifically, don't hate, probably the Navy guys. Just because Navy folk are used to the long deployments.
Yeah, if you served on a sub for a long period of time.
A sub or even a bigger ship, you're going out to sea for upwards of 6 months. That's nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can handle a sub for that long, you can probably handle, you know, the 6-month journey to Mars. Yeah. That's not a huge deal.
Right.
So basically at this point then we're talking about you're in the bus. You know, the bus of space. The bus
the
to
short
Mars.
Bus of space.
Oh, God, that's only for us. but then once you get there, you arrive, you get there, you descend, you land. And now you're at a point where, okay, you built the basic buildings are already there. You build it, whatever. You get the basics of civilization going.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, like, still so many other issues that we still have to solve.
Right. Yeah, you have to work out making oxygen, making water, and making food once you're there, because obviously we can only bring so much. We cannot breathe on Mars. We cannot breathe on the moon. We cannot grow anything in the soil of either as they sit. Now, both have ice reserves that we can tap into to make water on site, which is great. We're going to have to use that water to process the soil. The regolith on the moon is full of essentially jagged edges. I highly encourage anyone to look at a picture of lunar dust under a microscope. It looks terrifying.
Oh?
It looks, it's meteorite dust, impact dust. It's busted rock and glass.
Oh. So was it like sharp? Like what's that rock that the Aztecs used to use that like when it broke apart was really sharp?
Obsidian.
Is it like that kind of thing? It's like obsidian dust kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
That is
and something else. Dust removal is going to be a huge thing.
Oh, I never thought
because,
of that.
Because, yeah, when you go out and work in the environments, when you come back in, they're going to have probably multi-chambers of clothing and dust removal before they get just into their everyday attire.
God, so walking in and out of your house.
Because you cannot breathe that stuff in. That will slice your lungs and make it so you can't breathe. You will suffocate if you breathe that stuff in.
And that is something that is incredibly difficult to be able to have it so any layperson can't screw that up. God, that's a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. Like, ain't nobody got time for that. Dude, what do you mean? It's like a 5-minute process just to leave my house?
I got bronchitis. Nobody got time for that.
I never thought about the
dust.
Yeah. That never occurred to me, ever.
Now, on Mars, it won't be quite as bad.
Okay.
Because there are windstorms on Mars. The dust will get rounded off more on Mars, but it's still going to be an issue.
Hmm. So the good news is we have water.
Uh-huh.
The bad news is we're going to have to ship boatloads of fertilizer and other biomatter
To
be able to grow crops.
As much as we hate the idea, there is the poo potato route.
Yeah, but well,
you just don't think about it. Add some salt and ketchup, you're fine.
Well, I guess then
maybe some crushed up Vicodin.
I guess the problem becomes of like, you still have to bring enough food there to feed enough people for long enough.
Not just the journey.
Yeah, it's when they're there.
It's not just the journey. You have to bring food for the journey plus time to establish food. Once they're there.
And you have to bring extra food. You can't just be like, oh yeah, it'll be 6 months. I'll bring 6 months worth of food. No. Like, you got to bring a lot of extra food.
Uh-huh. Because if they have a crop failure, a system failure, if they're doing hydroponics, if they have like a fluid blowout and they lose all their hydroponic fluid, you have to plan for disasters that you can't even think about.
So you would have to basically pre-ship like millions of pounds of MREs. I know that's traumatizing for you. I know. But you would essentially, or the spacefaring equivalent, space MREs or SMREs or whatever, you know,
space food.
But you would have to do that, and you would have to deliver millions of pounds of water.
So because I feel like you'd be further ahead to ship a lot of really good filtration units.
Yes, but what if they fail? You're still going to need water.
Well, obviously you have some water, but it's hard to make a filter fail if it's a passive filter.
Oh, I see what you mean. So it's also being sponsored by Brita, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, basically. Okay. But that's just going to encourage us to grow plants and whatnot in these environments so that we can get resources to make filters.
Mm. So we're just going to have eventually just large greenhouses, things like that. So that's going to be one of the basic industries, really one of the main industries on Mars. It'll be, building greenhouses, filtering out.
Greenhouses because that'll provide oxygen. Yeah. That's another big need. We kind of need that. It's a necessity, more or less. I like breathing. I think you like breathing.
So far, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty productive.
It hasn't failed me so far.
Except when I can't laugh, or when I'm laughing and can't breathe.
Well, that's more human error. That's usually error.
That's just a human glitch.
Human body don't understand that breathing is more important than laughing, but, we'll patch that out next time.
So we bring up a lot of interesting points. There's all these things that humans require. So I'm going to touch back to our previous episode for a second. is it worth it to send humans, or should we just send the robots in our place?
Oh, no. This didn't occur to me.
They don't require sleep, food, or water, or air.
Well, why not both?
Well, to some extent, yes, we can do both, not just as not as many humans. You know, one human to 20 bots, yeah, something like that, sure. But isn't the point to keep humanity safe? I mean, if we just do the bots, aren't we just letting them build their robot utopia?
Well, again, as long as it's not full AI. Full
autonomous. It would have to be at that point.
I mean, a 20-minute delay isn't that bad. If you give it, like, orders to fulfill...
No, it's not. It's not just a 20-minute delay. It's a 40-minute-plus delay.
Oh, yeah, 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you got to consider the round trip.
But even so, I mean, I'm not against letting robots figure out the basic infrastructure. That's fine. But there does become a point of you have to have some human overreach, some
oh, you know, absolutely,
somebody there.
Gotta have the overlords in place.
Oh yeah, there's just no way. But it wouldn't be a bad idea to have them do like the risky things, or even just like simple assembly of habitable structures, assemble of greenhouses, things like that. So at least then people can maneuver. But
right.
I don't know. I just get worried anytime they say, oh, yeah, just send a robot to do it. I don't know. I get a little worried about that, man.
It's like, I don't know. I saw that movie.
Yeah, well, as we discussed in the last episode, you know, it's going to be a problem if used effectively, sure. But I don't know, man. I really don't know. I feel like there's enough people that are willing to go that we won't need to use AI for it. Because amount of people I see say all the time, say, get me off this rock. Like, I know it's somewhat jokingly.
Right.
But I do agree with it. I think there are.
You give them the opportunity for real. Will they take it?
And I hate to say it, like, the amount of people that are in jail serving, you know, sentences and other things like that are going to be there for decades. If we're willing to be like, hey, go give it a shot. You could suddenly get millions of people willing to sign up overnight being like, all right, I'll go.
So what? You want to make Space Australia?
That was not my intention. That was not my intention. I mean, I wasn't going to send the murderers. I mean, you know, I don't want them cooped up in a space tin can. No.
But why not?
Put it this way. So what if you didn't pay the taxes to to the IRS? Like, that's not a, you know, if you want to go start off on Mars, I don't care. There's no taxes to be paid on Mars anyway, so meh, you don't have to worry about
that. Not yet.
No, that would suck having to pay taxes to Tesla. They just take the Dogecoin just directly out of your wallet. Just no.
Right.
But no, I'm not trying to make Space Australia. That's not the goal. But I do feel like there's a lot of people that would sign up to do it. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
What? I wonder if banishment from Earth could become a new punishment.
Would it be a God.
It's no longer life in prison. It's banishment from Earth. You're not allowed to come back to your planet.
Yeah, we don't want you. Get the fuck out. Like the. But then the problem becomes, will it be more of a problem in a place where, like, if all you do is take a knife and rip open your hab, you basically die within a few hours or a few minutes.
Right.
Like, that there becomes the
last. But you know what? I mean, hey, Space Joe could be a thing, too.
Or just put him on the moon?
Yeah.
The ultimate timeout is what I'm hearing. Just
Right. Hey, if they start screwing up, maybe they just missed count.
Oops.
I mean, we've seen in TV shows and movies that people get spaced, you know, tossed out.
I'm not advocating for this, by the
Maybe.
Way. Just throw that out there.
I'm advocating for this in certain measures, certain circumstances, especially for those people that like other people that aren't the right age for being the people that they like.
I will let you and the politicians have a crack at that one. And I will save my skin on this one. My personal opinions will remain my own on this one. Gibbs on this podcast has not formally taken a stand, and for legal reasons will not be taking a stand. Please don't come after me. I like my family. There you go. That's my disclaimer. But no, I understand what you're saying, though. If anything, at that point, just, like, why not give people the option, on, like, a serious note, like, if a judge gave you a sentence for, like, you know, your crimes or whatever, why not have the option of, you know, 10 years prison here or 3 years labor on the moon? Most people would be like, I could just do labor on the moon? Sure. Like, why not?
Right. It's not going to be heavy labor because there's less gravity. A 5,000-pound rock on Earth is going to weigh, like, 80 pounds on the moon? Hang on, let me do that
math. I'm curious about the math on that one, only because, boy, the shenanigans okay, people get up to.
5,000 pounds on Earth would weigh about 833 pounds on the moon.
So still, people could move a ton or two.
Right.
And
hey, I'd weigh less than 50 pounds on the moon. Yay, I'm skinny.
But it's something to consider where we might reach a point where, I hate to say it, but somebody's jail sentence might be to go build infrastructure on the moon, Mars, space stations, things like
that. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily even important infrastructure, just general labor.
Oh, yeah. Just building habitable structures, just, you know, those like geodesic dome kind of things that give us some space. Yeah. You know, right. I would not trust them.
And maybe even give them the option, you know, hey, you've rehabilitated you've done your sentence, you've rehabilitated. You have the option to stay here now.
Yeah, for something like Mars or the moon, like if we have hab structures there, you know, just, hey, you've been good. As long as you behave and follow the rules,
right.
You know, do it there.
You know, true rehabilitation.
Yeah, it could be possible. Or we're just finding the nicest way to make space Australia. I don't know.
Right. I mean, it beats having the big guy sit on your face. But... Idiocracy reference.
Oh, such a classic movie. Yeah, it's so good.
Yes. Should be required watching in high school.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's becoming a documentary. It's becoming kind of depressing. That's the...
I know. It's sad.
That's the big issue. Oh, man. So, I mean, I guess, do you have any other further points for us going to Mars and going to the moon? Because I...
Honestly, I'm kind of excited for it. I want to see what we as humans can accomplish. I know that we're kind of fucked up, but I think that when we come together, we can do great things.
I'm going to take the pessimist point of view on this one, and I'll be honest with you. If it's taken us this long to be able to get rockets to be able to safely land again, we still haven't figured out a lot of different, you know, propulsion systems. We still can't figure out a lot of basic things. I think to say it happens in the next 20 or 30 years is very optimistic, unless we have an energy revolution that, unfortunately, we have not gotten. What is it, nuclear? Is it fission that's the one that we're working on, or fusion? I always get them confused.
Fusion.
So,
fusion we've had.
That's what we've had. Okay. Until we get something like nuclear fusion, where basically we have a much larger supply of available energy at very little cost, I do not think this is something that's going to happen in the next 10 or 20 years, even 30 years. To be honest with you, I think unfortunately it'd be long past our time by the time they start doing anything with the moon or Mars. And also, I hate to say it, I feel like governments are going to clamp down on it immediately because they're going to see it as a form of income. They're going to be like, oh yeah, but we could control this. And I think, unfortunately, the U.S. military and other militaries are going to say, hey, if you have a base on the moon and we don't, that's bad for security. And they're just going to gobble that up. I hate to say, like, eventually, I agree, maybe in, like, 50 to 100 years' time. But I think the first people there, they're going to be like, yep, that is now military property for security reasons.
Right. There are currently treaties in place. Whether they hold or not, I don't know. There are treaties in place to defend against the militarization of space and space property, like the moon.
Yeah.
But...
We'll I don't think they're gonna. I'll be honest with you. I think it's gonna be, It's going to be the new spy wars, I bet you, is what that's going to be. Like the 80s during the Cold War, where there are all these different spy things happening and whatnot. It's going to be the same thing.
You're probably not wrong.
Where you're going to have inexplicable things like, oh, this shuttle somehow exploded. No, this space station had a decompression all of a sudden. All this. They're going to have all these weird technological or weird issues that no one's going to be able to address. All of a sudden, things just happen, and you're just not going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. And somehow the company, I'm going to use Tesla's example. They're somehow just going to say, "Oh yeah, we had an engineering fault or nothing else," and it's just going to fall under the radar. Just nothing's going to be said about it.
So here's the little point that I can make on that: you can only have so many of those before it creates the final issue. If those issues happen in orbit of Earth. If we have too many of them, we will have too big of a debris field to actually be able to leave the Earth.
Slight problem. That's just a little bit.
Yeah.
I know we already even have the issue with just so many freaking satellites we have.
Uh-huh. It's crowded up there. space junk removal could be a business opportunity in the near future.
How about you get a space tow? Get your space junk out of there. Oh, my God.
Space bulldozer. Also, space piracy could become something in
that
the future.
That is a topic that I didn't even think of. Oh my God, all it takes is it's one of those buses to go rogue. Somebody brings a couple of guns and all of a sudden they own the space highway up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, weapons in space work a lot differently, so that could be a whole different topic for a whole other
Newtonian
episode one
physics.
Day, but space piracy and the physics of space combat.
Again,
I mean,
please
God,
watch The Expanse. Please. If for anyone that's still here, that's still listening to this, if you like all of this stuff, just go watch The Expanse, please. It is really good. But yeah, if you are the one guy up there in space with a gun, you own it. That is now your property. Congratulations. you bought a bus in
basically.
Space. You didn't pay anything for it, but you bought it. You know? I don't know. I'm curious to see where this goes, and I do hope a lot of this stuff happens in our lifetime, and we get to at least see it and be a part of it. But
yeah, there's one last quick topic that I can kind of say. If we don't send humans, we can send robots that are still humans.
Cyborgs?
Well, we send robots that can take the download of the human consciousness.
Oh, God, that's a whole... Oh, God.
I mentioned in the last episode that I wanted to do an episode on the digital afterlife.
Yes.
I'm still going to tease that one because that's going to be a good one.
That's one...
Hopefully our next episode will be that, but that's a possible implication. If you download a human consciousness into a robot body... Because you could just send the consciousness.
Yeah, but see...
That's a digital stream.
I hate that you bring it up because I have many, many thoughts about that, and that's something I'm actually really into. So,
make notes.
I'm just going to say I hope we don't.
I'll be too.
Let's do the not that. Please not that.
But also, I kind of hope we do.
You hope somebody else does it so you can watch.
Yes, but I also would like to do that as well.
What?
I want to live a long time.
Okay, this we've decided next episode now because we're going to have the biggest argument on that
we're
one.
We're doing it. That's going to be a two-hour episode.
Yeah, that's going to be me yelling at you for half the episode. No, not really. But... Yeah, no. No way.
Yes.
But anyways, so...
All right, so...
Anything else more on this topic, though, that you wanted to bring up?
No.
I thought we pretty well covered everything.
I personally hope that we become a species that is not confined to Earth. We're too fragile staying on one planet, one major disaster, one big nuclear war, and humanity is gone. If the human race is to survive itself, I think we have to leave Earth and expand out.
That I can definitely agree with you on.
Yay!
That I can agree. It's just the how and when... How and why, that's up for debate. Because I think at some point I want to do a different discussion down the road of a different avenue that we can take with that topic, but that'll be later. Because I have some research I want to do with that one. I have some actual facts and data that I want to back my position up with.
Okay, great.
But yeah, besides that, I think we are in agreement. I think we are all set with this episode talking about the moon and Mars, Elon Musk's fever dream, or humanity's future homes. So yeah. I want to say thank you all for being here. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate all the constructive criticism and really any and all feedback. Just so you all know, we are working on getting the social media platforms up. We technically do have the YouTube up, but I don't think we have anything posted there yet.
Just these episodes.
Oh, yeah, just these episodes. Yeah, exactly. Eventually, I'll be adding some more stuff in. We'll be getting some more things. Still working on more music for, like, intro and outro and whatnot, because what we're using right now is the, I guess, the first variation or the first edit of it. But feel free also to send, like, any ideas you have, because I write and do all the music. I do everything, so I'm willing to take suggestions. If you're like, oh, this would sound cool, throw it my way. I'll do whatever. Right. And I am working currently. I was working on it last week, but I got busy working on the new Discord, that we have a specific Discord space for this podcast. That way it's easier for y'all to interact with us, you know, make questions, comments, concerns, and also that we can interact with us directly at some point. Anything else you'd like to add there?
No. Well, on the Discord, we do hope to, at some point, include people in a interactive session further down the line. It's going to take some finagling to get it all to work, but we would like to have some kind of a situation where we can interact with people, possibly in a actual episode. It might just be a second episode for that week. I don't know. It might just be us shooting the shit for half hour, 45 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all going to get worked out.
Yeah. We'll figure out a way to do live calls. We'll figure out a way of doing discussions with people, doing meetups, you know, like on the Discord. And there's a few other things as well. I do want to say for any listeners out there, definitely feel free on the Discord. There will be a channel for it. If you have any favorite clips or comments or things that are funny, you know, feel free to let us know in there. And I actually do want to have a quote room in there, just like we have on our private Discord. I want to have a quote room.
Dear God.
Because
I hope that never sees the light of day.
Oh, I know. Well, our private Discord that we have, that quote room can never see the light of day. But the one for the podcast, I'm totally fine with.
Yep, that's fine.
But any funny moments, you know, anything like that, post in there. We'll be making those links public, you know, in the next coming weeks. With the holidays and everything, we've both been super busy. But hopefully we'll be getting to that shortly. So I just want to say thank you all for being here. Seriously, thank you all for listening. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks, bye.